Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Where we're headed. Acts chapter 2. I still got a bunch of other things I still want to say about that question. I got to make myself follow the rules here. Acts chapter 2, we'll pick it up here, and we'll go 29 through 41. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were immersed, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So, been working, and I'm not going to go back and review all the stuff I've been reviewing on the prophecies and all that. That's important, laying it out. But we're going to jump right to where we were last week, verse 37. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" It is the word of God also that is able to pierce the heart. It's the teaching. People can have interest because of the way that you live your life. People can be even convicted sometimes by your stains for righteousness. But nobody's going to be pierced to the heart and ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" until we have laid out the case of who Christ is. At some point, guys, this mouth got to open. Now, we know the Scripture's consistent on this. This mouth's got to open. We got to speak the truth in love, don't we? This mouth, when it opens, it needs to be consistent with our walk. Our walk needs to be consistent with our talk. Let's put it that way. You know, one other thing on the "do not judge lest you be judged," there's Jesus working on something called hypocrisy there. So, you know, if the mouth's saying one thing and yet we are being governed by the flesh in our lives, what sort of, even if we get somebody interested in truth, what sort of disciple are they going to be? I mean, probably. Now, hope maybe, and we've seen this happen, they can still to themselves see Christ and follow after him. But typically, that's what they're going to view as Christianity. So we want to make sure that our walk is there. But I also, the point of emphasis in the book of Acts, and that I'm working on myself, and I'm hoping that you guys see this from the Scriptures too, is that the walk is great, but the talk has to be there to save anybody's soul. You've got, the way I've been saying, you got to find your voice. You got to open your mouth. You got to lay out the case for what the Scripture says. Super Dave.
I think it's very important that we follow Jesus' example. You know, as we meet and greet people, we got to spread the word and see if we can get them interested. And once they're interested, then we got to invite them into Bible study. And that's how we can really lay out what Scripture says and get them convicted so they actually want to know more. You know, and we follow Jesus' example. You know, he's our leader, and then we also got to lead by example as well. You know, and that, to me, that's a very important part of all of it.
It really, really is. And, you know, the great thing about Christ is He took all sorts of opportunities publicly, but he also did the majority of his teaching still was when people would come and ask him questions, that one-on-one stuff. You know, there's a lot that God had done in preparing this stage. We've talked about before, this is the day of Pentecost. This is the first fruits of the harvest. This is a good day to get the first of the spiritual harvesting under this new covenant. These Jews were ready. They were primed, and God did some stuff that gave them an opportunity to preach to thousands at one point in time. Because God can give us that opportunity too. I think that some of those opportunities, they're hard to come by right now, but I think there's something called when we're ready. When we're ready, God can give us that sort of setting. And how are we going to get ready? Yeah. All of us get opportunities. Maybe not to speak to hundreds of thousands, but all of us get opportunities to talk to ones and tens and multiples in that way. We got to do it. We got to find our voice.
I don't remember the exact number, but keep in mind that what we do here and the podcasting that we do, we reach thousands of people every month.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. So, yeah, this is the word is going out, and I appreciate guys like Mr. Schaefer and his diligence on that so that we can get the word out. You know, there are avenues, there are marketplaces. You know, I don't know what the biggest one is. I want to say Amazon. It's sure one of the biggest market. What is that? You know, so it's a little, we gotta find those opportunities, find those marketplaces and go and share the news. And here it is, the gospel preached that pierced the heart.
Just like you were saying, there's marketplaces for that, and thousands of people aren't, I don't think, going to just show up at our assembly, you know, to hear the gospel. I think that a lot of the onus of the opportunity is on us to get out there and find it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
Pentecost happened in a place that was established for all those people to be there ordinarily. You know. So we gotta look for those opportunities.
And if Jesus wouldn't have already, well, we'll go back to even John the Immerser. If he wouldn't have been doing stuff and setting the stage, and Jesus follow up on that, there would have been nobody that cared about what happened to this guy. But the fact of the matter is, because of the work that John had done, Jesus had done, and then Jesus, 70 that he sent, like, there is curiosity, right? Moses. The law, yeah, all of that stuff. You know, Mark said earlier, we're always on building on other people's. Well, we got to do that now. So, main point, just following up from last week, that it's the gospel. It's when we lay out the message of Christ that pierces people's hearts. And now this question comes in, brethren, what should we do? And the answer here, Peter said to them, repent. Repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can spend a long time on this verse. We are going to spend some time on this verse. But, you know, the reality, bottom line, there are only two conditions. It's the lost and the saved. You're either in or you're out. Now, I don't know if this bothers any of the rest of you guys, but when I see people everywhere, I know, without prejudging the soil, I know the condition of, in a general sense, of people everywhere. They're lost. They're in need of a Savior. They're in need to recognize that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. They're in a need of repentance. You know, we either go through with our eyes down so we don't have to think about that, or we go with our eyes lifted up and we see people are in trouble. These are the only two conditions. People are either in or they're out. And the reality of it is, almost everybody's out. So, you know, laying forth this case, the question comes back, you know, brethren, what shall we do? You know, the dividing line here, the issue is this problem of sin. I think we're all aware of that. You know, sin is what separates a person from God. And depending on what condition the people are in that we're talking to, some people are well aware of that it's sin. Some people just know there's a problem. They don't know what it is. I mean, they haven't been able to all the way come to that conclusion. They just know something's seriously wrong. They inherently know that there's no relationship with God. And they know they need one. They don't know enough. You know, they've been blinded enough. Maybe even conscience seared in some cases. At least to a degree. That they can't... They're going to need some help processing through that. But the issue is sin. And when we start laying this out... You know, you ever Bible study with somebody and talked about sin and they actually say, well, I've never sinned. I haven't had that happen to me. Ever. I've had people prior to try to, you know, before you can ever even get them, you know, when you're doing the poking and the prodding and the probing to see if there's any spiritual interest there, that, you know, try to make the whole sin is all make-believe and it's because... You know, rules that we try to impose on other people to make them behave socially and all that stuff. But when you actually get somebody to sit down and just, you know, be even remotely honest, I've never had somebody not recognize, you know, particularly when you use the law to point that out to them, that it's shut up everybody under sin. I've never had somebody actually try to say, oh, I'm okay. I mean, I'm thankful there's verses like, all have sinned. You know, just, we can make that real. But people know. You hit the, yeah, okay. I got a problem here. These guys, they got a problem. They recognize it. They crucified the Christ. And so, the question is whether or not a person's been forgiven of their sins. That's the initial question. And we'll work on the Holy Spirit here and the rate we're going in a few weeks or a month or something. But the initial question that every lost person actually has when they come to an honesty of who Jesus is what do I got to do to get rid of this problem of sin? That's what this question is about. Brethren, what should we do? Oh. Sure.
When I read this verse, the last part of it, their question is, brethren, what shall we do? And his response was, each of you.
Yes.
And I think that too oftentimes in situations like this or anything else, that we take this collectivism approach that, well, you know, we're all in this together, so everybody else can do it and I'll just take part in that, you know, and by golly, that'll work. But Peter nails him to the wall and says, each of you. And I think that's really an important distinction.
Great point, Jared. Thank you. You know, the question's easier asked sometimes when you work with people, there's a lot of that sort of stuff that goes on. What they're really asking is, okay, guys, I know I'm in trouble. I just don't want to quite say it that way. But we do have a responsibility to come back and say, you got to deal with you.
You know, to dovetail that, Mike and I were talking yesterday. You know, especially in the Church of Christ, there's a lot of focus put on Acts 2:38, rightly so, because as you're making the great point, that's where you got to start because it's a sin issue. But you know, I know that there isn't enough emphasis put on the Spirit, mm-hmm. especially again in the Church of Christ and in many places.
Well, come on, Mike, if you'll ever let me get there.
No. Well, you know...
I'm teasing. I'm just going to keep going.
If I'm waiting on...
Don't let me derail you.
I won't say it. check the Scriptures, though.
Yes.
That's the prize.
Yes.
And I know this is like beating a dead horse or, you know, however you want to say it. We say this a lot, but that's the goal.
That's the goal.
And if you don't... If you don't recognize, do I have the Holy Spirit, do I not? How does one get the Holy Spirit? Or what's the importance of it? Just read Romans 8.
Yes.
Without it, guess what?
That's right.
You don't belong to Him, and he not in you, but there's a whole lot of other things that go along with that
yes.
too. But
yeah, we will get there. The promise of verse 39 is not forgiveness of sins. But the question on the lost mind, and so you know, Mike brings up a valid point. We, the Church of Christ, really, really hammers this over and over. And, you know, I do too. But I want you guys to think of this as the reason that Acts 2:38 gets hammered here is so that we have the response to the lost. The whole issue of forgiveness of sins, you know, there is some part that applies to us as Christians. That's called if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Okay? But, you know, if I committed some sins last week, I don't need to go get redumped. Okay, so this is applicable to the lost. And so, you know, what I am personally thankful for the book of Acts is these guys are out there spreading the word. Okay? They're getting into the lost. And so we want to be equipped to be able to do that. But ultimately, like, the message doesn't end here at repent. And the message doesn't end at be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, and, you know, we will get there by the grace of God here.
That's one of the things that I'm appreciative about 1 Corinthians 1. You know, when it talks about, I mean, God chose the foolishness of the message preached, or the preaching of the message. And that's so important. And then to another point you made about no one you've ever Bible studied with saying they've never sinned. Man, they're, honestly, the people that would say that, I don't think they're ever going to get in a Bible study because they've denied that. Everything at that point. And it's, you know, I had a study with a young lady where, you know, we talked about it, and her first response was, well, I thought you were going to tell me everything I did wrong. I was like, I don't need to tell you what you did wrong. That's why you're sitting here. I'm here to help you get it right. But they know, man. I mean, and then obviously Romans 2, their conscience alternating, accusing or defending a man. God put it within man. He knows. And those that have denied those things, you're probably never going to get the chance.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Good point. So, it's already 10:01. Next week we'll work a little bit on what it means to repent, and we might get into immersion a little bit too. But, you know, hey, I want to encourage you guys, you know, find your voice, spread the word, preach Christ. Doesn't do any good to talk about repentance. It doesn't do any good to talk about immersion if you haven't first laid out who Jesus is. All right? All right. Thank you for your attention.